Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Choice International Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Ms. Aashvi Shah from Adfactors PR Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Choice International, I welcome you to the earnings conference call for Q1 FY27. Joining us today from the management, we have Mr. Arun Poddar, Group CEO, Mr. Ajay Kejriwal, Executive Director, and Mr. Ayush Sharma, CFO. We will begin today's call with opening remarks from the management, following which we will open the floor for Q&A. Before we begin, I would like to remind everyone that certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. These statements are based on the management's current expectations and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied. Choice International Limited undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements based on subsequent events or developments. With that, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Arun Poddar to share his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aashvi. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. FY27 has begun on a steady note for India's financial service ecosystem, with evolving investor behavior, greater digital participation, and increasing finalization continuing to shape the market for Choice. The environment provides an opportunity to strengthen our capabilities across businesses and expand into areas of financial and the professional services. Q1 FY27 marked a steady start to the new financial year. Our focus remains squarely on execution, strengthening each business vertical, improving our institutional and distribution franchise, building our product capabilities, and branding the platform through which we serve the client. Alongside this, we continue to lay the foundation of future growth through strategic partnership and by expanding our footprint. The broking and distribution business continues to see steady traction, with cash delivery remaining a key focus and supporting revenue quality and stability. The segment contributed 59% to total revenue, while stockbroking AUM stood at rupees 62,226 crore in Q1 FY27. It's growing 30% YOY basis. Wealth AUM increased to rupees 4,961 crore, supported by continued participation in delivery-led product. Our 70,000 Choice Business Associates continue to complement our digital distribution capability and expand our reach across market. During the quarter, our Demat account base increased from 12.94 lakhs, up 13% YOY basis, aided by improved onboarding and a broader product suite. On the institutional side, Choice Institutional Equities hosted InsightX 2026, bringing together 100-plus corporates and 150-plus institutional investors and allocators. The conference provided a platform for corporate and investors to engage on business outlook, industry trend, and the growth opportunities. We also continued expanding our asset management. Choice AMC Private Limited receives SEBI approval to act as an investment manager to Wealthware Capital Trust, a CAT II AIF sponsored by Choice International Limited, supporting the continued development of our alternative platforms. Beyond our retail distribution business, insurance continued to see a steady traction, supported by an expanding partner network and the greater adoption of digital channels. Premium collections stood at rupees 80 crore in Q1 FY27, it's up 5% YOY basis, while policy volume increased to 67,828, representing 73% growth over the same period. I'm also delighted to share that Q2 FY27 We strengthened our strategic partnership with NH Investment and Securities through a 900 crore investment in Choice Equity Broking. This partnership is an important milestone for us and will support our growth across broking, distribution, MTF, technology, while further strengthening our long-term expansion plan. Now coming to our NBFC business, we remain focused on secured lending with MSME, micro LAP and rooftop solar financing continue to be the key area of growth. The loan book stood at rupees 836 crore as on Q1 FY27, contributing 13% of total revenue. Our in-house collection capabilities continue to support the asset quality with NNPA at 2.74% as on June 30, 2026. Lastly, our consulting business continued to build on its product pipeline during the quarter with an order book of 777 crore across digital packs and the multiple product multilateral support initiatives. The segment contributes 28% of total revenue and provide a visibility over next 2 to 3 years. Adding to this momentum are consulting subsidiaries, Choice Consultancy Service Private Limited and Iloza Consultant Private Limited. Secured government mandate aggregating approximately 191 crore rupees across e-governance, infrastructure, project management and the financial consulting. These engagements further add to our order pipeline and strengthen our presence in government and the infrastructure consulting. Investment banking also remained active with one IPO completed during the quarter and 30 mandates currently under execution. The overall pipeline stands at over 6,766 crore. With that, I will now hand over to Ayush Sharma, CFO, to take you through the financial performance of the quarter. Over to Ayush Sharma.
Thank you very much, sir. Let me begin with an overview of how the business performed in the opening quarter of FY27. Choice closed Q1 FY27 with a consolidated revenue of rupees 319 crores, which is higher by 34% over the same quarter last year and almost 1.6% on a sequential basis. EBITDA came in at ₹114 crore, holding a margin of 35.75% as cost disciplines continued to work in our favor. At the bottom line, profit after tax was ₹61 crores, a margin of 19% and an increase of 26.37% on a YOY basis. It has been an encouraging opening to the financial year. These numbers point to consistent delivery across our verticals and reaffirm the resilience that a diversified model brings. Turning to the individual businesses, broking and distribution brought in ₹197 crore of revenue for the quarter, contributing ₹48 crores at the PBT level. The DMAT base now stands at 12.94 lakh clients and per client activity continues to deepen as we widen the uptake of insurance and wealth offerings across the Choice Finance platform. On the lending side, the NBFC posted a revenue of ₹45 crores. Book quality held firm through the quarter with gross NPA numbers at 3.78% and net NPA at 2.74%, an outcome of prudent underwriting, tighter collections and a well-spread loan portfolio. Margins stayed comfortable with NIM at 11.10%, consistent with our preference for secured exposures. The advisory business rounded the quarter with ₹91 crore in revenues by way of, you know, a steady pipeline of mandates. That covers the headline numbers. I am happy to take your questions from here.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next question is from the first. The first question is from the line of Nachiket from NK. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, hi, good evening, sir. Thanks for the insights in your opening and good progress on the key initiatives you've taken. So I just wanted further information that since you've taken NH Investment as a strategic advisor, could you share some broader strategic value, like beyond capital infusion? Is there any focus areas like offshore flows or to access to clients in Korea, or overseas access or product distribution, which we could benefit from?
Sure, Nachiket. Thanks for your question. This is an important question, certainly. Capital infusion is one part of this particular transaction, and I would say a smallest part of this particular whole transaction. The larger objective in having this transaction was to have an integration with the NHIS core strengths. NHIS is very strong in the institutional businesses globally, and more importantly in Southeast Asian markets, be it Korean, Hong Kong, Singapore markets, and as well as they have their global presence across US markets as well. So the immediate kind of synergy will be to integrate the institutional businesses or the institutional clients which they serve through their global offices, and those clients will also be having some sort of business activities here in Indian market, so we'll be looking to cater to that, and that will be the first low hanging fruit. Secondly, they are also very active in the investment banking deals across multiple jurisdictions. So that will also be some sort of additional integration, business integration we'll be looking at in the coming years as we integrate our businesses with the NHIS strengths. So these are the kind of advantages apart from the capital which we are looking at from this particular deal.
Okay. And on this incremental capital which gets deployed, is there any internal targeting as to what kind of capital return do you target, or what kind of incremental ROC can be generated?
So, I'll tell you the deployment sort of thing for this particular capital which is being raised from this particular transaction. We have the sufficient internal accruals to fund our expansions, etc. The larger utilization of these funds will be towards development of MTF portfolio, as well as, the okay. settlement fund which we provide to our customers as per the regulatory guidelines. So the growth will be in these portfolios, and eventually the increased interest income as well as the brokerage which we will charge on the increased trading activity for the clients will result in an additional profitability for the company.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Samrudri Pane from Yes Securities. Please invest with your question.
Thank you for taking my question. Just a small question regarding our improvement in NLPA. So we can see that it has improved from the last quarters. So how much of this improvement is driven by recoveries and upgrades? And I would like to know that.
Sure. So this is largely driven by the collections which has been done by our ground team. We have an in-house collections team which is responsible for all the collections which has been slipped from the bucket of sales team. So the initial primary collection target is for the sales team. Once the cases are out of the control from the sales team as per our internal policy, these are allocated to our internal collections team. So the recoveries are done wholly by our internal collections team, and this is an result, the improvement is a result of collections done by our internal collections team only.
Oh, okay. And my second question was regarding our NBFC segment. We expect that to the AUM is expected to increase by 20 to 30% on the stable interest rate environment. So how do you ensure that the credit quality will be intact? And just one small question in this, that what will be the mix of secured and unsecured lending in the incremental loan book in Q1?
No. So we are fully focused on the secured loan portfolio only. So whatever loans we do are secured by way of collateral in some or other format, right? So it will be largely driven by the growth in the secured loan portfolio. On the growth aspect, see, we have an in-house proprietary credit assessment engine which runs the primary credit check for the customers. Although once the machine does the credit, we have the human intervention as a mandatory check where the ground physical verification is done by our credit team for the customer, and secondly, the central credit team re-verifies the output given by the machine and reconciles the same with the ground visit of the credit team guy. Once everything is reconciled and verified at the central level, we do the final sanction to the customer. And this is what has been able to help us to maintain the asset quality and will continue to help us to maintain the asset quality over the next growth cycle as well.
Okay. And just to confirm that the incremental loan book in Q1 will be most probably from secured side, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Vivek from Jhala Family Office. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks for the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Vivek, you are audible.
Yeah. So I have two set of questions. One is EBITDA and PAT declined sequentially in Q1 FY27, although both remained higher year-on-year. Could you help us understand the key factors behind the sequential movement and whether this was largely due to seasonality or timing-related factors? And how should we think about the underlying profitability run rate going forward? Secondly, as the advisory order book continues to grow, how should we think about margins going forward? And do you see the changing mix of projects, including larger government-led mandates, having any meaningful impact on EBITDA margins?
Sure, Vivek. So firstly, on the advisory order book, yes, so we expect that the mix will change from currently the heavy infrastructure advisory segment to other consulting segments as well, which is largely the governance framework development or IT and IT-related consulting assignments or other project management kind of projects which we plan to grow with the government. So that's the kind of change which we are expecting in the mix of order book on our government consulting book. As far as the margins are expected, we are currently maintaining a margin of around 20% net margin in the advisory business as well, specifically the government advisory business, and we expect to maintain the similar margin levels as we grow in the size as well.
Okay. And lastly, I have one more question. Solar financing is a relatively new collateral-free product. What was its Q1 disbursement and outstanding AUM, and how does its yield, cost of funds, credit cost, and ROA compare with the traditional MSME book? And also, at what scale do you expect solar financing to become a meaningful contributor to NBFC earnings?
Okay, so solar is a relatively very small portion as compared to the overall portfolio. I really don't have the current AUM number handy with me currently, but we can certainly share the same. I mean, we can certainly try to publish the same in the next public disclosures at the stock exchange. However, as far as the growth of solar portfolio is concerned, let me be very clear. It is a very high-price competitive market, and we are very sort of profit-centric organization where we don't compromise compromise on the cost of on the ROIs when we consider, you know, growing the portfolio. So we expect that we'll continue to maintain an ROI of, you know, around 15% for the end customer while growing the solar portfolio. Our target is to grow this portfolio to sort of 150 crore rupees by the end of this financial year.
Got it. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Sharma from Ekant Investments. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, Aniket, you're audible.
So yeah, I had a few questions from my side, and my first question is on the mutual fund business. Could you give us some perspective on the monetization roadmap? Given the current AUM base, how do you see the AMC's revenue contribution evolving over the next 2 to 3 years, and what AUM scale would allow the business to become meaningfully profitable?
Sure. So, see, AMC is a longer vision for the Choice Group. It's not a shorter term kind of initiative. We see this as a longer term venture for Choice. We have recently, we are currently focusing on the passive products to grow in our AMC business. Our target is to launch the active schemes as well by the end of this financial year as also. As you know, this is the, we are currently in the setup phase. We expect this financial year to grow, to make sure that we have all the required skills, all the required team and manpower in place, and launch the couple of schemes in this financial year. And our proper growth phase for the AMC business will start from the next financial year. Moreover, as we are also a distributor of mutual funds, there the AUMs have grown significantly because we have been distributing mutual fund products of other AMCs as well as part of our wealth management business. So we expect that we continue to maintain a growth rate of around 30-35% in the overall AUM on YOY basis in the mutual funds distribution business.
Okay, sir. Understood. And so you are targeting a significant increase in the AMC AUM by the end of FY27. Could you elaborate on the product and the distribution strategy supporting this growth, and how do you see the contribution evolving across ETFs, active and or passive funds, AIFs, and third-party distribution?
No, in the AMC business, this year our focus is on passive schemes only. By the end, we'll launch the active schemes, and growth in active will come in the next year onwards. So this year, the larger focus on the AUM growth in AMC will be on the passive schemes itself.
Okay, understood. One last question from my side. The solar financing is a relatively new and collateral-free product. What was its Q1 disbursement and outstanding AUM, and how does its yield, cost of funds, credit cost, and ROE compare with the traditional MSME book? And at what scale do you expect solar financing to become a meaningful contributor to the NBFC earnings?
Sure. So, firstly, solar is also not a collateral-free business. We do take solar equipment as a collateral while financing, the solar equipment to the customer. So, we have some sort of collateral which can be repossessed and sold in case of delinquencies. So, it's a completely secured product for our NBFC business. Secondly, as I mentioned that it is a high competition business when it comes to rate of interest to the end customer. We have been maintaining an weighted ROI of around 17-18% on the solar portfolio. We have to bring it down to around 15%, which is already there in the pipeline. And by the end of this financial year, we expect the AUM to reach at around 150 crore rupees for the solar financing product itself.
Okay, understood, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Man from North Star Investments. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, and good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. So actually, sir, I wanted to have an update on the current merchant banking pipeline across your main board, your IPO, let's say SME IPO, and all the other capital market transactions. And what do you think all these opportunities to start and convert into your revenue?
Okay. So, Man, firstly, on the conversion to revenue side, we have the hybrid kind of arrangement with the customers for whom we, you know, raise funds by way of IPOs. So, it is some portion of fees is during the preparatory phase and some portion of fees is post the completion of the IPO. So, revenues are ongoing. We are continuously generating revenues from the current mandates. We have the, as mentioned previously, we have the current mandates for the fundraising size of around 6,600 crore rupees approximately, which we expect to complete over the next 1 to 1.5 years time as the market provides the suitable timeline for the industry specific IPOs to come up. Having said that, a couple of IPOs are ready as we get the suitable opportunity from the market sentiment perspective, we'll immediately, you know, come up with the opening of the, you know, the IPOs in the investment banking business.
Okay, that's really good to hear. And another question was on your new Category 2 AIF approvals. They are in place right now. And I just want your, what's the corpus and the broad investment strategy and how quickly do you expect this business to start generating revenue and meaningful in your AMC?
So it's part of building our internal capabilities for the alternative in the alternatives space. This is the first AIF which is sponsored by Choice International and our AMC is going to act as fund manager for this. As we build the sizable AUMs under this AIF business, we'll come up with further alternative investment options for the investors. Currently, this is an pre-IPO focused fund, largely focused on the pre-IPO opportunities where we invest in the pre-IPOs in the companies which are coming up with the IPOs. We are working on other investment strategies as well. As soon as we are ready with those, we will come up with more alternative investment options for the investors.
Okay. That's good to hear. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhanraj from Kuber Advisors. Please proceed with your question.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, Dhanraj.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just have a couple of questions with me. I'll just start with the first one. Considering the Hello?
Yeah, Dhanraj, you are audible. Please go on.
Okay. So, considering the current pace of AUM growth, so what would you expect the AMC to reach the, when would you expect the AMC to reach the EBITDA break-even and once the business reaches scale, what kind of margin profile would we can expect over the medium term?
Okay. So on the AMC business specifically, Dhanraj, we have a plan to bring the business to BEP in the next 2 to 3 years timeline. As the AUM grows to a certain size, we will achieve the BEP numbers. We are not currently, giving a guidance on that, what that AUM number will be, because the size is small currently. So as the size grows, we will certainly start discussing about the guidance on the AUM numbers as well.
Okay. Also, throw some lights on recent collaboration with NH Securities and what is the nature of this tie-up and how this will reflect on our business?
So as I mentioned previously, Vinraj, this transaction is more than just a fundraise for Choice Equity Broking Private Limited. Choice has commanded a strong hold in the retail business across India. Now the idea was to to expand into institutional business space, and second, to have the global presence as well. This strategic partnership with NHIS will help us to expand our institutional businesses across India as well as the global markets. And also we will be able to provide global access to our Indian customers also through this particular partnership. So these are the kind of advantages which we see. And this will certainly help us to multifold growth in our revenue and profit numbers in the broking space specifically.
Okay. Got it, sir. Okay. So that's all from my side, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a gentle reminder to participants. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one now. I repeat, to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav from Raghav & Company. Please proceed with your question.
सर मेरा क्वेश्चन है सर आपका जो आईसीटीबी के साथ पार्टनरशिप किया है उसका आप फाइनेंशियल ईयर एंडिंग में क्या इंपैक्ट दे रहे हैं नेट प्रॉफिट में
So, Raghav ji, I heard your question. So, see, this is currently at the integration stage. We are integrating our systems with the IPPB systems. As soon as that is completed, we will go ahead. We are expecting to complete this by end of this month only. As soon as the integration is complete, we will initiate onboarding customers through the IPPB platform. Depending on the initial volume which we see from the month of September onwards, we will be able to give some guidance on the overall impact in the PAT and revenue numbers through this partnership. However, we are very confident that given the exclusive nature of this partnership with the IPPB, we will be able to onboard a large chunk of customers from the IPPB platform on our wealth management platform.
Actually, sir, I think Arun sir has already said a couple of months back, from 1st July, the revenue will start kicking. I think you are already late by 3 months, right?
No, it's by end of this month, we will complete the integration. And from 1st of September, we will start onboarding customers.
So what kind of revenue number can we expect from it? Like just a hint, say for example, for Q4 only, since Q2 would be gone, Q3 and Q4, any idea?
Sir, it's little early to give a guidance on the revenue number from this partnership. Once we start onboarding the customers, we will be able to probably give you some guidance.
Okay, and about 900 crores, that NH investment, when that amount will be received by you?
In this quarter itself, sir.
Probably
this quarter itself.
This month end, na?
In this quarter, Q2 itself, we will get the money.
So means from Q3 onwards, the real growth will kick in the numbers, right? Because from the Q4, like the Q3 last year, Q4 last year, and this Q1, the sales have been flat around 300 PR and the profit has been flat around 60 PR. QOQ, there is hardly any growth. It's normally flat. So that's why I'm asking, since the company is saying 50% CAGR for next couple of years, but QOQ, there is no growth since last 3 quarters.
So on the if you will see the quarterly number from Q1 FY26 versus FY27, revenue has already grown by 34%.
No, I'm not saying YOY. I'm saying QQ. Q3 last year, Q4 last year, and Q1 of this current year. Last 3 quarters, the sales have been flat around 300 crores, and profit has been around 60-70 crores. So I'm asking, last 9 months, the sale and PAT has been normally in a particular range. There is not a like QOQ massive growth of 30%, 40%. I'm talking about that. When we can expect as a shareholder that QOQ growth will come, not about YOY.
Yeah. So Raghavji, one thing is that some portion of this growth is attributable to the seasonality of the markets. But you can certainly see a tremendous growth after this money coming in, because the money will also get to work in the business. So that growth will certainly start coming in from the Q3 onwards.
So probably from Q3 onwards, that 50% CAGR can be maintained, na? So Q2
yes,
would be flattish, similar like Q1 only, na? That's
no,
what
no.
I'm just guessing.
Q2 will also have certain amount of growth, but it is difficult to give some guidance on the Q2 numbers at this moment because of the regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But growth will definitely be there in Q2.
But the real growth will kick in from Q3 onwards, na?
I am telling you specifically on the money coming in Q2 and the growth because of that money coming in will start, you will start seeing in Q3 onwards.
Yeah, that would be the big movement, na? That's what I'm trying to guess.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And just I want to understand, like we are talking at top line around 1,200, 1,300 crores, like on an annual basis, average, okay? So after this money comes in, that 900 crore and IPP partnership, when it starts kicking, for say, for example, 2 months later, November, December, roughly. So for next year, what can be a massive growth you expect from the top line and bottom line for next year? Just keeping in mind 2 points. First, IPP partnership rollout. Second, the 900 crores investment comes in. So what kind of real growth can we expect for next financial year? Just an idea.
So, sir, firstly, the base is going to grow from this financial year itself, from the last year's PAT of around 236-237 crores. This number will grow for, tremendously in this financial year itself because of the two transactions or two events which you just mentioned. Over and above that, we expect another 50% growth in the next financial year as well.
So this CAGR will be maintained because of these two transactions, right?
Yes, yes, sir.
And another thing I want to ask, since your main, major trend comes from your broking business, 50 to 60% sale pack, okay? And 25 to 30 comes from your consultancy, which are the two best segments. Then what about the NBFC? Doesn't you think like if it comes as a drag on your top line, bottom line, it consumes your working capital and doesn't generate that much of returns which these other two segments generate?
On the profitability side, definitely the ROE is higher in the broking business, and that is why the highest capital is also allocated to the broking business. From the diversification perspective, relatively smaller capital is allocated to the...
I got your point. But in simple words, in Hindi, mein baat karta hoon. One, two or three business aapka, pehla broking, second consultancy, third NBFC. Broking or consultancy mein high margin share, और हाई चांस है वहाँ ग्रोथ बहुत बड़ा आपको आ रहा है, कंसल्टेंसी में ऑर्डर अच्छे आ रहा है, सब कुछ बढ़िया है, ब्रोकिंग में आपको इन्वेस्टमेंट बहुत बड़ा आ रहा है, उसको मल्टीपल मतलब मल्टी लेवल का वो काम होगा, ठीक है? मेरा ये कहना है जो थर्ड लेयर आपकी एनबीएफसी है, मैं आप वहां अगर 100 करोड़ भी डाल रहे हो तो उसका उसका रिटर्न नहीं मिल रहा ना, आप उस पैसे को विड्रॉ करके रादर टॉप टू बिजनेस में अगर पैसा डालो तो हाई आरओई जनरेट नहीं होगी, थर्ड बिजनेस का चला क्यों रहा अगर वो लैग पड़ रहा है, अगर आपके टॉप लाइन बॉटम लाइन पर आपके पास ऑलरेडी दो अच्छी अपॉर्चुनिटीज है ना?
नहीं सो राघव जी, एनबीएफसी का भी एक जेस्टेशन पीरियड है, एज सून एज वी अचीव सर्टेन माइलस्टोन्स इन द एनबीएफसी बिजनेस, दिस विल आल्सो स्टार्ट गिविंग एन हायर आरओआई एज कम्पेयर टू व्हाट इट इज करेंटली गिविंग. सो इट्स जस्ट इट्स मैटर ऑफ अनदर, वी एक्सपेक्ट अनदर 1 year, एंड विद इन अ ईयर वी विल स्टार्ट सीइंग द हायर आरओई इन द एनबीएफसी बिजनेस एज वेल.
इट विल टेक 1 year. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Ajay from Axigen. Please proceed with your question.
Congrats. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So actually, my one part of my question was already answered. Just wanted to get your guidance on the segmental businesses for like your broking, NBFC, AMC, investment banking, etc. So just could you give me a guidance of next 2 years and how you plan to, implement the same and achieve the same?
Okay, so currently, as we rightly discussed during the course of this call, we have almost 60% revenue coming from broking, 30% from advisory, and roughly around 10-12% from NBFC business. We expect the mix to be around 50, 40 and 10 over the next couple of years. It's not because the advisory will grow, advisory will only grow or in broking will not grow. Broking will also grow, but advisory, because investment banking is also clubbed with the overall, advisory segment only. So that will have an overall added edge over the growth of the NBFC. So therefore, 50, 40 and 10 is the kind of ratio which we expect to see in the future in the segmental mix.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raghav from Raghav & Company. Please proceed with your question.
Another question I was asking, I think 6 months ago, the CEO, Sir Arun Sarad, I think has said on the television that they are opening 100 branches this year. What's the update? Like 6 months have gone this calendar year and hardly, I think 10 branches hardly had opened. What's the update on that?
Sir, we have finalized good teams. It is more important that we grow with the right set of people. So we have already finalized teams at various locations. As soon as their current employment with their existing employers get over, we will open our dedicated branches at those locations and start doing businesses in those locations as well.
I got your point. The paperwork will be there, but realistic number.
We are on track with our growth target of 800 branches over the next 4 years, 3 to 4 years time, so that we will certainly achieve, sir.
Like we are around 210 to 220 branches, I think, if I'm not wrong. So by end of this financial year, for example March, what kind of number can we expect? Just ideas.
So for March, we can expect somewhere between 300 to 350 kind of branches.
Nearly 100 branches we will open in the next six months.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question from the participants. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Ayush Sharma for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for your questions and your interest in Choice. Let me close this with a brief thought. FY26 was focused on building the businesses steadily and strengthening our fundamentals. We have carried this approach into FY27, with the first quarter showing continued progress across our businesses while maintaining a disciplined approach to growth. Thank you once again for joining us today and for your trust and support. We look forward to staying engaged with you throughout the year. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Choice International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.